Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. On today's Fit Club, we talk the McDonald's fitness tracker recall, the United States medal count from the Rio Olympics, and more.
All right, you guys, we are back. It is Fit Club, and in the background, that is a great, I think that was the opening song for the Olympics, and that was Katy Perry, Rise. I actually need to add this to my workout playlist.
Such an inspirational song, right?
I just got goosebumps. I know it's kind of corny, but hey, you guys, I'm Fallon, your host. You guys can find me online at fitwithfallon.com or on social media at fitwithfallon and my lovely co-host.
I'm Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
All right, me and Shaka this week have really dug in and done some research, and I feel like we have great topics to talk about. The first one, I'll give it to Shaka. He found this one, which is very interesting. It's about how McDonald's, in their Happy Meals, they were giving away fitness trackers for kids, and they actually had to do a recall because a lot of them were getting blisters and burns.
Yeah, it's normally a good thing. You know, we want to give McDonald's kudos for at least promoting some health.
Here's your unhealthy food, but we're going to give you, so you can track and burn it off after you eat your bad food.
Exactly. So you may not want to start your kids off with the Happy Meal, but the fitness tracker is not such a bad thing. But yeah, so there's 70 reports of burns and blisters with this thing. So there's actually a current recall for there's 29 million out there in the United States. 3.6 million in Canada. So certainly if you're going to McDonald's and getting these trackers, make sure you return them to McDonald's.
I was actually talking to one of my friends about the topics that we have for tonight's show. And she was like, oh, my son has a fitness tracker. She was like, he loves it. He wears it everywhere. Yeah. And I'm like, is he okay? And she was like, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would still probably heed the recall so he avoids the burn. But I guess that's been a little bit of a debate. You know, here they are promoting this healthy lifestyle, but it is a fitness tracker in the Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Well, what side do you fall on?
I just feel like it's you know, those marketers are good, but you know, they're snakes. They're still trying to get you. You know, like I said, you're going to eat your unhealthy food, but hey, we're going to try to make it seem healthier. But if you do return your fitness tracker, McDonald's will give you a low-fat Go-Gurt yogurt, or it will, what else? There was one other thing. Or you'll get, I think, apple slices or something like that if you return your fitness tracker.
Yeah. I mean, so it's unfortunate, but I like that they're moving in the right direction. I don't necessarily like that it's packaged with the Happy Meal, but guess what? People are going to buy the Happy Meals anyway, so now they get a fitness tracker with it, hopefully one in the future that works and doesn't burn them, but yeah.
All right, let me tell you how many calories are in a Happy Meal. So if you get a Happy Meal with a cheeseburger and kids' fries, it's going to turn out to 530 calories and 20 grams of fat. So it would take the average adult man about 1 hour to burn this off working out.
Wow, that's not, those stats aren't great, but they're heading in the right direction.
But you know what? I'll be honest. I loved going to McDonald's growing up. Like, when I think of my grandma, that was our treat. Sundays, she would pick us up, she'd bring us to McDonald's, and then we would burn it off playing for an hour, and they had the play place.
Yeah.
You know? And I always look forward to, you know, the different toys. So maybe if, you know, they had a fitness tracker back then, I probably would be interested in playing with that, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it, you know, promotes health at the end of the day. I'm just glad it's there. It's an option. So, but if McDonald's is going to exist, or at least they're going to, you know, include some healthy stuff. The stuff in the chicken nuggets, they made that healthier.
Natural, yeah.
They have the Go-Gurt now.
And I think that's good because kids eat chicken nuggets. So at least, you know, there's something on the menu, you know, whether the nuggets or the apple slices. I guess there's healthier options. And I'm not going to lie. I remember one of my friends, she dragged me to McDonald's and I was like, I can't eat any of this. I'm trying to lose weight. And I looked at the salad menu. I got a salad. It was really, really good. And it was, you know, 500 calories or less.
I mean, yeah, I stepped into McDonald's the other day. I forgot. I didn't even know why I was there, but I was in McDonald's, and they've really reworked it, especially here in California, where it was like you could almost, it was almost like a Chipotle type McDonald's where you could pick and choose what you wanted. And it made me think, oh, maybe one day I could come back to McDonald's and order some food. Not anytime soon, but if they stay in the right direction, who knows?
All right, you guys, we have found 8 fitness phrases that you need or should start avoiding.
Yeah, we see these phrases all over the internet, and like, you know, I think they play into our psyche, so we need to like look at them the right way.
All right, so we're going to deconstruct them, both Chaka and I, and I guess give you the real meaning of why you shouldn't say these phrases. So the first one is train insane or remain the same. And I hear this, you know, all the time. What do you think about that?
You know, it's one of those things, you can't out-train a bad diet. So that really also sends you the message that the harder you work in the gym, you're going to see these results, you know. Or really, it's the harder you work outside the gym is where the results are really going to come. So that's one of those things that just kind of plays into our psyche of overtraining and hitting the gym to...
And this phrase scares me when it comes to newbies to the gym because, you know, I see my clients when they first start off with me, they're coming to the gym and sometimes they can go so hard that it derails them from going to the gym consistently afterwards because they're so sore or they get sick and it scares them. So I don't think that always training insane.
Yeah, you don't need your weighted vest. You don't need your oxygen mask.
You don't need any of that. But it is a catchy phrase. The second one we have is go hard or go home, which is similar.
It's I'm just glad you're not home. That's the way I put it. I have so many people say, how do you stay motivated? It's because I don't have the mentality of going hard or go home. I have the mentality of just get my butt to the gym. If I have a bad workout day or if I have a great one, I'm there.
And again, like we said for the first one, you can risk burnout or you can even injure yourself. Which, you got to be careful of. 3, I really regret that workout, said no one ever. But let me tell you, I have regretted workouts. And I'm not going to lie. I don't know if you've ever gone to the gym sick, you know, where you're like, just get out of bed, just do it. You get there, you feel so sick, you hardly do anything. And you know what? You're telling yourself, you know what? I should have just stayed in bed. Fully recovered, and then went to the gym.
I've had that sick when I was in college, and I drank a lot more. Sometimes I'd have the impulse to go work out, having had a few drinks. Big mistake.
Bad idea. Very bad idea.
Definitely regretted it before.
4, strong is the new skinny.
Yeah, I mean, that one's interesting.
Well, the way I kind of like deconstructed that one was, you know, you can be strong and skinny. So I didn't really comprehend, but I guess I understand a little.
I guess the idea is that, you know, skinny, no matter what, you know.
Skinny is in. You don't have to be skinny.
Regardless of your level of fitness.
Exactly. You can be strong, and that's more in now. Yeah. That's more cool.
But on the other side, there are people who are skinny and fit and love it. And, you know, so I think that could also send the potentially wrong message.
All right, 5, sore today, strong tomorrow.
See, it depends on how sore you're getting. Again, you don't want to overtrain. You want to make sure that you're getting good recovery. It may be sore today, strong next week.
So,
so you don't want to fall into the trap of thinking, oh, I'm sore today and tomorrow I have to go back and hit it even harder.
Because for me, I mean, I did legs 2 days ago and I am feeling it today. I should be strong today, according to this. Still sore. Still feeling it.
And sometimes it happens, so you've got to pay attention to your body and sit down and recover. I mean, it's hard for me to do too, so.
Yeah. 6, eat clean, train dirty. I actually like this one. I do say this one a lot. What do you think of this one?
That one's open to so much interpretation. And that's one of those phrases I do like. Because I think eating clean is so important. I guess, again, you can take things too far with eating clean if you're miserable and it's somehow affecting you.
But and you can't eat clean all the time. I mean, year round. I know you enjoy birthday cake, once a year, twice a year.
I treat all the time.
Good cheats, healthy food.
Exactly.
Yeah. 7, sweat like a pig to feel like a fox.
Yeah, and that's the
same thing. Never heard this one.
Oh, yeah? You haven't seen the little meme with the pig and the fox? Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, and again, you don't want to fall into the trap of thinking you got to overtrain, do cardio for 5 hours to get this particular body. And everyone's body is different, so you want to just watch the way you're changing and what you like.
Even so, when I'm lifting heavy weights, you know, I personally, I don't sweat much when I do weights. And, you know, I'll have friends who perspire a lot doing weights. I don't. The only time I sweat a lot is if I'm doing cardio. So, you know, sometimes I have a great workout. I got a pump going, but I'm not necessarily necessarily sweating, you know, but I'm looking at my Polar watch and I'm like, hey, I'm burning a lot of calories, so I'm doing good here. My heart rate is up, so I could look like a fox, but, you know, even though I'm not sweating.
Yeah, you don't want to go and deplete yourself, because, you know, if you do work out too long, your body may start to turn to muscle for fuel, and, you know, so they're just training all the time, constantly. You may be doing yourself a big disservice.
Yeah, and number 8. Hardest part is deciding to go.
Oh, well, I think that is the hardest part.
See, I don't think that's the hardest part. I think the hardest part is being in the gym and actually giving it your all for that hour. Like, I feel like I can get up, put my clothes on, go to the gym, but it's when I'm on that Smith machine trying to squat, you know, almost 200 pounds, and I'm like, no, this is the hardest part right here.
Yeah, I think that's a sort of, I guess, where you come from in life. A lot of people have trouble just getting to the gym. They overinflate the time it's going to take, or, you know, they find this and that excuse. Once you're in the gym now, there are certain mountains that are just tough to climb, and you got to mentally get there.
But the first step is
getting
there.
Yeah, I think it's hard to get people just to go consistently. Yeah,
I agree with that. You guys out there, what, I guess, fitness phrases do you guys kind of like saying, or you hate? Feel like they make no sense? I'm trying to think. What's mine?
Did you have one yet before this list?
I don't know. I don't know. Did you?
No, I mean, I guess for me, I always look at the positive in those phrases. Mm-hmm. For the most part, I just kind of take it as like motivation.
Yeah.
But then I can see in a lot of those phrases that we discussed is how it can do a disservice to a lot of people. Yeah.
I do say a lot, I'm not going to lie, no pain, no gain. That's something one of my clients are like, I'm in pain, it hurts. I'm like, no pain, no gain, give me 5 more reps. But nice. All right. So we have a new coffee that's going to give you all the benefits and less the jitters. It's called Mushroom Coffee, also known as Reishi or Ganoderma lucidum or Lingzi, aka it's really Asian fungus. Now, I personally haven't tried this coffee before, but I know Shaka, you usually try everything, so I'm counting on you. Did you try this before?
I've tried Reishi, but I haven't had the coffee because it doesn't sound very appetizing.
You know, when I think of mushrooms, just knowing that they're fungus and how they are formed, it just freaks me out. I'm not really a mushroom person. If they come on anything I'm eating or in my soup, I usually just pluck them out.
I don't like them. I've only taken them in supplement form. I'm not a big fan of mushrooms.
But if you do try this mushroom coffee, there are many, many benefits. It boosts your immune system with many different things. The polysaccharides help fight many things such as high blood pressure. It will lower it. If you have some tumors, it's also rumored to help with that. And then it also contains Lingzi, which is also, you know, beneficial for helping your immune system. They say it's very safe, except for patients who are going through organ transplants and who already have, you know,
compromised immune system.
Exactly. So they have to be careful with that. There are a lot of antioxidants in it. Reishi is actually an antioxidant. It promotes wellness by eliminating those free radicals in your system, and it improves your system to be able to absorb more oxygen. And again, blood pressure, cholesterol, all that stuff, it helps lower it. And it's an allergy alleviator because of the anti-inflammatory, components in it. Side effects? I don't know if there's side effects. Did I write any side? No side effects so far.
Yeah, so
that's good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no side effects. Hey.
Yeah, it's all natural, reishi and coffee. But I just don't know how it's going
to
taste. But
yeah, I'm going to have to experiment. I'll have to try to find it. Maybe that's one way I could get my mushrooms in without being grossed out. But don't worry, they're not hallucinatory mushrooms. It's not that type of coffee.
Yeah.
All right, so we have the, I guess, results from Rio's Olympics this year. And let me tell you, the U.S. team really, really pulled it off. Record-breaking numbers. The Olympics contained 17 days, 206 nations, 10,900 athletes competed, and the U.S., team brought home 121 medals, 46 of those gold, and that is more than any other Olympics, except it was pretty close to, I think it was it Beijing a couple years ago?
Yeah.
That was pretty close, but still this year we beat it, so that's awesome. We've seen the men's basketball team. We saw Clarice Shields, who was the first woman to, I guess, for boxing, win a gold. We have Simone Manuel,
yeah,
for swimming. She made history. And my girl, Simone Biles, doing gymnastics. Geez. I mean, the gymnastics team was incredible.
She cleaned up with the gold medals.
She really did. And, I thought Gabby Douglas was, going to be the trophy or, the poster child for gymnastics for many, many years. And Simone just went in there.
Yeah,
and
she's been doing real stellar, yeah.
I cannot wait. And
we had Michael Phelps, too,
Michael Phelps.
Last races, yeah.
Yeah, he was... Yeah. He was actually questionable how good he was.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are you still killing it? You know, but maybe he knew, okay, this is my last Olympics.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hard. Did you see those memes with his faces?
No,
those
I haven't
evil
seen
faces.
No.
So I guess they were prepping to go into their competition.
Oh, when he was,
and
I saw
his
that
face,
prep for it.
It was just
Intense.
Very intense, but he was focused.
I think he's got more gold medals since some guy in 1000 BC.
He's record breaking. I think it's going to be a while before anybody
can
do what he has done, or at least break his
his gold medal record. That's amazing.
Pretty impressive. I had a great time watching the Olympics. What was your favorite sport to watch?
I enjoyed track a lot. Track was really...
was really, really good.
Yeah, the 100, 200. Not from our country, but I love watching Usain Bolt. He's such a character.
I love him. He was just looking back at everybody laughing.
Yeah, electric.
He was I got this.
But from the U.S., we had Allyson Felix, so it was great to see her win some more gold medals. She wasn't able to medal in her individual race, but getting some relays and, she's remarkable. I think she's gotten... 6 or 7 goals by now. But she's absolutely amazing.
And you know what? I'm just seeing so many minorities take home the gold, and it's amazing. I wonder if they could do more studies and see.
Well, I mean, that's what I love about sports and how interconnected it is. Because even when, I think about what Jesse Owen in 1936, competing in the Olympics on a national stage. And I think getting people in different cultures together, which is kind of why the whole Lochte thing was unfortunate, because it was like a culture clash.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. Yeah.
So that's why that was such an unfortunate part, because you always, these are the moments you celebrate our differences and you see them,
Yeah, I saw his Good Morning America interview. I'm like, I interviewed him a couple years ago. Wouldn't have predicted this.
He's a crazy kid, but just to do what he did in that country and...
Yeah.
At the time, just awful all around.
Yeah, definitely has already affected his career with sponsors being dropped.
Yeah.
And
but hopefully from this Olympics, we remember the good stories, the Simone Manuels and
Biles
and Phelps.
The great stories, not the bad ones.
Yeah.
All right, so we researched this new, theory on being able to increase flexibility and strength with weighted stretches. Now, I grew up as a competitive gymnast, and this is something that we did doing gymnastics, but for some reason, I just forgot about this. it was something that we just did anyway, but I guess as an adult, as a trainer, they don't teach this to you, or you don't see it often. Do you practice weighted stretching?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you?
On the, I forget the name of the plate. It's that big plate that vibrates.
Yeah.
I like to do weighted stretches on that.
Oh, okay. So for those of you out there who don't know what weighted stretches are, can you explain?
Well, for me, it's just stretches with adding weight to get that muscle more flexible. A lot of times, if you're getting stretched out by someone, they're kind of pushing you as you go deeper throughout your stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And so a way to kind of get deeper is to have some weight, kind of push on you.
And it helps with your strength. And usually, when you think of getting stronger, you think, okay, I got to lift weights to get stronger. And when you think about flexibility, you think, I have to not use weights, in order to get more flexible. But this is kind of intertwining the both of them together.
Yeah.
And there's different ones. There's ones you can do a pike one. And I've even seen it without weights, but you put a band around you and you tie it around a pole or anything.
Yeah.
And you you sit down, have the band around your back, you lean forward, and it's going to push you forward. That way you get deeper and deeper and deeper into the stretch. So I thought that was, I think it's just called a weighted pike stretch. The Jefferson curls, which I think it's what you were talking about on the plate machine. Yeah. But you can also take a yoga block, or you can just stand on anything that's elevated. You put your feet and your toes up to the edge. You grab a weight or even a kettlebell, and you slowly let yourself hang, and you'll feel yourself getting past the point of, you know, where you're usually not able to stretch. You have to make sure you go slow. You don't want to do this fast, because your hamstrings, you know, muscles are almost like piano strings. They're very, very thin. So you have to be careful. You don't want to pull anything. This is
start light. Yeah,
exactly. This is start light and then slowly add more weight. But yeah, those are two different strength and flexibility stretches that you could do, or weighted stretches that really help you with your flexibility. And I know so many of us work day jobs where we're sitting down all day, we're at a desk for 40 plus hours, and when you go to the gym, you're so focused on doing curls or doing, you're not focused on opening up your shoulders and the flexibility and correcting your posture and stuff like this. So this is something that we need to keep in mind. And I feel like that's why so many injuries occur, because people are so focused, oh, I got to get stronger. But if you look at many athletes, especially gymnasts, and I'm sure all the athletes that were in the Olympics, I know flexibility is probably a game changer component when they're competing, when they're getting ready to compete. That probably, you know, helps them in their game and be true and be good at what they do.
Yeah, and this is something that's just nice that you can do at home that's really low impact. That, you know, if you feel like you really don't have enough time, buy a kettlebell, have that at home, and you can start doing some of these weighted stretches.
Yeah, and most adults can't even touch their toes.
Yeah, so this will certainly go a long way to helping you do that, too.
Exactly, and I know a scientist, I think he was from Brazil a while ago, founded this test. It's the seating to stand-up test with no hands. Did we ever talk about this before?
I'm not sure.
So basically what you do, he came up with this test, and he's a scientist, and it's proven that if you sit down Indian style and you stand up without using your hands, you have a life expectancy of living more than 5 years. But if you have to use your hands and it's harder for you to get up, your chance of dying in 5 years goes up 5 times.
What?
And if you don't believe me, Google it.
Wow.
I'm surprised you haven't heard of it.
No,
When I first heard of this, I was so scared. I was like, I have to sit on the floor. I got to get up without using my hands.
Oh, my God,
And then my elderly clients, I started forcing them to do this, and it really opened up their eyes, like, wow, I need to start stretching. And I imagine, because as you get older, I mean, I don't know how true this is for young people, but if you're older and you don't have flexibility, I just, you know, you hear a lot of people who are older who fall and can't get up,
and then you have a hip replacement,
all these other things, and then those things lead to bigger things, and then death. So,
and certainly I think if you're concentrating on keeping those areas recruited, the core, the legs, then you're probably just living a healthier lifestyle overall.
Yeah. All right, men, that's you, Shaka, too. Cover your ears. This is kind of, you know, getting a little...
Let you take this one,
yeah. All right. So cover your ears, men. Shaka, cover your ears. California is now... Well, lawmakers in California are trying to pass a law that will alleviate and take off tampon tax. That's right. California tampon tax may be gone soon, girls. So, yes, let's rejoice.
And
well,
that was something I didn't know. A tampon tax.
Yeah, so, Shaka didn't know. I knew. So, I'm from Massachusetts, and they don't tax anything, really, in Massachusetts, especially not feminine hygiene products. So, when I moved to California, that was the first thing I noticed. Usually, you get taxed on things that are not a necessity. And that's why these lawmakers are having such an issue. They're putting luxury tax on tampons. having your menstrual cycle is not a luxury, okay? Let me tell you. And we cannot help that we're born women. So why should we have to pay extra for something that we need every single month for 50 plus years?
I'm down with that cause. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I had no idea that
it was, crazy. And the sad thing is that about 20 million women in California live under the poverty level.
Wow.
So you think like, oh, what's an extra 10% to pay on tampons? Well, if you are living under the poverty level, you can hardly feed yourself, clothe yourself, put roof over your head.
And we've talked about the whole SNAP program, and something like that wouldn't be covered by EBT.
Exactly. Yeah. I used to do a lot of like volunteer work for a domestic battered woman shelter, and that was always something that we needed. We constantly needed tampons, pads, and, you know, unless they were donated, it was hard to come by. Yeah. So it was very unfortunate for, you know, those women who it's something that they couldn't help, that they would have to struggle, okay.
If food's a necessity, I don't see why this couldn't exactly. be also. Yeah.
So even President Obama got into it. He said, I suspect men were making the laws when this tax was passed. And I think it's pretty sensible for women in these states to get these taxes removed. So Obama is definitely on board, but we have to see if these lawmakers are. And if you look at the screen, if you're watching, it shows you all the states in pink that currently have the taxes, and the other colored ones do not have the taxes. So as you can see, most of the U.S., over 40 wow. states, you know, currently have the taxes. So it needs to change, and hopefully we will see that this year. Girls.
Yes, let's go.
Yes, and you know, it should be gender equality as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's one of the biggest issues.
And this is a fight that we could all get behind. It just seems ridiculous.
I need to call up some celebrities. We need to do some videos, yeah, right?
Instagram. Well, I don't know about how a tampon challenge would work. But.
All right, you guys, the next subject we have is quite alarming. I found that menopause is on the rise in India.
This was another kind of big subject about, I guess, the conditions over there. Yeah. And also, why is one of the largest countries, they didn't meddle?
Yeah.
And so...
So, yeah. Menopause is now... Well, usually, worldwide, you usually get menopause statistics show around 51 years old. But in India, women are experiencing it as young as 29 years old. So there's a 4% increase of women at 29 to 34 years old who have been experiencing menopause, and an 8% increase of women 35 to 39 years old experiencing menopause in India. And first, what they've seen is, irregular menstrual cycles, and then they cease altogether, mm-hmm. which is very interesting.
Yeah, and the average age is 51, so this yeah. is like... a huge problem.
Yeah, and Dr. Gupta, an IVF specialist from India, thinks it's POF, which is premature ovarian failure, which could be caused of many different things. Your changing of food habits, the work culture, you know, it's inducing lots of stress, lifestyle choices, I think you mentioned that, if you're drinking, smoking, but I feel that this should be a wake-up call for the rest of the world, us women. Mm-hmm. If it's happening in India, you know, what's so different about India than us? So will this start to happen? Will this, the rise be, you know, noticeable here as well pretty soon? So I'm very interested to look into this subject.
Yeah, I think it probably has a lot to do with, like, the poverty rates mm-hmm. there. And so... I don't know exactly what's going on, but mm-hmm. I think it probably has a lot to do with how the medical care and the poverty rates and people having access to
yeah, I hope they care. Do more research on this, because the article we looked up, it gave us some stats, but, you know, it didn't look like they had so much research on it. But they did say, you know, to prevent this from happening, you want to take control of your diet. You want to live a healthier lifestyle, you know, eating clean, exercising, getting enough sleep, and try to minimize stress, as usual, but...
So good lessons to take anyway, no matter what you're doing, I suppose. Yeah.
It's kind of scary. I don't know. All right, you guys, that is all we have for today's show. But, you know, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We got the stats back from our iTunes listeners.
Yeah.
And we were blown away. Me and Chuck are like, wow, a lot of people listen to us. So thank you so much. Yeah. You know, you guys who have been tuning in, listening to the podcast on iTunes, even you YouTubers who have been watching us on YouTube, you know, we feel very appreciated that you guys want to learn from us, you know, and you want to better your health and you want to, you know.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for. And we just love to get your questions, your comments. We want to cater this show for you guys. Yes. So, yeah, we're just interested in what you guys want to know about fitness.
Yeah, so if you're listening to us on the podcast especially or on YouTube, please reach out to us. Yeah. You know, if you have some questions that you want us to dig deeper on, research on, or if you want to know more about us and our routines, you know, we'd love to reach out to you. Or if you have a crazy, you know, story that's inspirational about your health, how you changed your life through fitness.
Yeah, we'd love to share them
with you guys. So, or even what you've learned from the show and how it's helped you.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Thanks for joining Fit Club. We'll see you soon.
See you guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.